Even by the standards of Mexican drug violence, recent events in Mexico have been particularly brutal. A massacre at a birthday party in Ciudad Juarez, the city just across from El Paso, Texas, killed 14, most of them high school students. Last week, 15 people were killed at a car wash. Most of the victims worked there, all were young, and at least 10 were in drug rehab. And in Tijuana, the border city thought to be relatively free of narco or drug violence, armed gunmen burst into a drug rehab clinic there and gunned down 13 recovering addicts. Our guest, William Finnegan, says there's a pattern of brutal attacks on drug rehab centers, some of which are run by cartels, but the one in Tijuana is most troubling. Finnegan recently filed a dispatch from Tijuana for the New Yorker magazine. We'll link you at our website, hereandnow.org. And he joins us from his office in New York. And Bill, to start with, you write that the attack in Tijuana might be payback for a huge marijuana bust, but that all of these attacks on drug clinics, birthday parties, are making a statement. What's the statement?
It's simply these crime groups demonstrating their own cruelty and impunity, in case anyone has any doubts about what they're capable of.
But what does it say in particular in Tijuana? Because you write Tijuana had become the exception to Mexico's drug violence, really had been overhauled. Other Mexican cities trying to copy its success, a success you tie to one man in particular, Lieutenant Colonel Julian Lezola?
Lezola, yes.
Why? Who was he? What was he doing?
Colonel Lezola retired from the Army and took over as police chief 2-3 years ago in Tijuana and really challenged the narcos. They were fighting a very violent war in public at the time, two groups. And when Lezola took over, he very much challenged them and dared them to bring it on, which they did. A great number of police officers were killed. But the violence did fall off considerably, and this approach was hailed by the U.S. Embassy, the presidency of Mexico, as a model, and Lezola given a lot of credit.
Credit, but also criticism. It was sort of a process of purifying, cleaning up police and army units of people collaborating with drug cartels. But you spoke to people who said they were falsely accused of being in the pay of drug dealers, and they were tortured by Lezola's officers until they signed a confession. And particularly chilling is one man, Hernandez, who said, you know, not only did I, you know, was I tortured to sign this, but I just signed it so the torture would stop, and it's not true. Tell us about that.
Well, Lezola himself would say, and did say to me, that his biggest accomplishment by far hasn't been taking on the cartels directly so much as it has been the anti-corruption campaign you refer to, the depuración in Spanish, the purification of the notoriously corrupt Tijuana police. I was interested in that because obviously public corruption is a big part of the power of organized crime. But when I looked into this anti-corruption campaign, I did find that it largely proceeded not by serious investigation, but by torture. Somebody would be picked up for whatever reason, you know, a police officer, and then tortured to give a list of names, and each of those people would then be picked up and tortured to give a list of names, and eventually, you know, you call that a network, and you keep going along those lines. I mean, Lezola told me that he had smoked out something like 600 bad cops, more than a quarter of the police force in Tijuana. Yet nobody has appeared in court. I mean, there's been no evidence presented. It's been going on for a couple of years, and I did manage to interview some people who had been taken, tortured, mainly by the Army, some claiming Lezola himself present, quite brutal torture.
But did you ask him about those charges, about the torture accusations?
I did. He was pretty breezy about it. He said, oh, well, you know, they don't go gently. You know, they get hit, sure, but he disclaimed all responsibility. He said, I hand them over to the Army. And what he's actually very closely associated with the Army, and he actually lives at the barracks where most of this torture goes on. But he wasn't, you know, particularly concerned. He said, no, there's no torture.
He seemed to imply that the criminals were playing the human rights groups.
Yeah, the families of these victims, many of whom are just sitting in prison somewhere, never having been brought before a judge or anything else. Some of the families have gotten active and then have suffered the consequences, have been harassed and threatened, have had to go underground, and I found some of them to talk to.
Well, but Lezola's supporters would say, before he took over, there were decapitations, dismemberments, corpses left hanging from bridges, piles of bodies with tongues cut out. Is there a feeling of whatever it takes for him to clean things up, which he appeared to have done before this recent attack?
there is some of that, you know, we need an iron hand, whatever it takes sort of feeling. But I was surprised. I didn't find a lot of popular enthusiasm for Leza Ola himself or for the police. Their image didn't seem to have changed very much. People are a bit cynical about, you know, who's really working for who and who's really corrupt and what's going on. There's also been, speaking of dismembered or decapitated bodies hanging from bridges, there's been a spate of that kind of thing also this last couple of weeks, kind of suggesting that all this talk about Tijuana having, you know, become this success story on the battle against organized crime was all premature.
Well, and you say that what may be going on now is maybe a new territorial war between rival gangs, because Tijuana, after all, is the gateway to California. Is that what you think's going on?
It's very hard to know, but people who were in a good position to know, like the military commander in the Tijuana region and some journalists who've been working this for a long time, have been talking for a while about a general movement of the Sinaloa cartel, that they may attempt a sort of takeover of that plaza, as it's called, because, as you say, it's very valuable heading into California. Not so much marijuana. California has tons of marijuana that it grows itself. In fact, I think it's a net exporter. But for cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, the huge market in California for all those drugs, which are produced or transshipped from Mexico and through Tijuana. So the Sinaloa cartel, led by this fellow El Chapo, is said to be moving toward a general takeover or an attempt to take over the whole plaza from the Tijuana cartel that's traditionally controlled it and with whom they're currently sharing it. And the terrible violence we've seen in recent years in Ciudad Juarez is very largely a result of a move by Sinaloa to take that part of the border, El Paso-Juarez, away from a local cartel, the Juarez cartel.
So the recent stability in Tijuana was more of a balance of power, and that balance of power may be about to go out of whack.
Yes, that's what people are afraid of, and I'm afraid it's a strong possibility.
That's William Finnegan speaking to us about the drug violence in Mexico recently. Dozens of lives, 3 massacres over the last week, including an attack on a drug rehab clinic in Tijuana. Bill, thank you.